Hey, what's up, everybody? It's KT Temple with the TNT Business Podcast. I am here with my co-host, Kent. How's it going?
Well, I am not in Alaska anymore, so it's going really good. It's man, it's warm here. And we just had the big eclipse. Just got through watching that. Now everybody knows exactly what day we're taping this.
Yeah, we it's funny to like have business meetings with my dad, and it go from talking about the numbers and everything, and he goes, "All right, don't look at the sun." I'm like, "Thanks, pops. Appreciate the advice. I won't look at directly at the sun."
Do not look directly at the sun.
I did get to meet one of my neighbors because I was walking Mochi just to kind of see. My dog is Mochi. And I just wanted to kind of like see it being dark outside. And I met one of the neighbors and he let me use his glasses so I could go look at it, which is kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah. So we are going to do we're working on like a foundational series for the podcast and just doing little things that you guys can start implementing in your business to really, really help it. And this one is going to be focused more about real estate agents, but I think the tips that we have here can work for any business. Replace the word real estate with whatever industry you're in, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, Casey, this is really, and especially any business that you have that you don't have to have like a big storefront to run. You know, these are the things a lot of times that we don't think about. And man, I've been talking on for years and years, because here's what I learned about real estate agents as a whole. And real estate agents as a whole are not good business people. And here's why. There's a good explanation for it, is because most real estate agents don't have an MBA, and most real estate agents never ran a business before. So whatever business you're in, if you don't have an MBA and you've never ran a business before, you might want to think about some of these things. And Katie, the other thing is, I can't tell you that the agents that I've run into that have big businesses that sell a lot of real estate, that don't run it like a business and actually don't have any idea if they're successful or not, how much money they make, even if they make money, because they're just not running a business. They're just out there selling stuff, and you know, whatever happens, happens.
I mean, both of us have been in recruiting positions in our professional career, and I've had to recruit people with huge, huge numbers that I know aren't profitable. And we've also been to a bunch of award ceremonies where you see huge, huge numbers and you know they're not profitable. And there's a few little things. I mean, the things we have listed out here, man, you could do all of them in an afternoon minus one.
Oh, yeah, you really can. Well, okay, so every year, we've had my buddy Matt Perry on here before with us. And every year, Matt Perry brings me into Raleigh, North Carolina, to speak to a bunch of what we call mega agents. It's a bunch of guys that have to get in that room. You have to have a big business, and you have to have a team surrounding you, or you can't even get in the room for the talk that we do. And so this past year when I was doing it, and I don't think they were really understanding what I was talking about when it came to running it like a business. And so finally I said, "Hey, Matt, me and you're in a text group with six other guys, or people, because there's guys and girls in it. With six other people, there's eight of us in there, and we all have pretty big businesses, right?" He goes, "Yeah, that's one of my favorite groups because we share ideas." And I said, "Matt, in that group, who does the least amount of business?" And you could just see his face, like, well, he didn't want to say it in front of the room, but I knew what the answer was. I said, "Matt, it's okay, go ahead and say it." He said, "Well, Kent, out of eight of us, I think you have the smallest business." And I said, "Matt, I do." I said, "Matt, who do you think makes the highest net profit percentage in our group?" And he immediately said, "Oh, you do. And I'm second because I follow what you do." So it's all about it. There's people in that group that do a lot more business than I do. And I take more money home in my pocket as profit because I run it like a business.
So to get started, we've got just setting up an LLC. And I know I did this the wrong way twice. The first time I set it up, I forgot I set it up and it's gone already. The second one I set up, I did it through LegalZoom and it's still through that. And I have no idea what I did. It worked out, but I would go about it a different way. So talk, you know, explain how you would set that up or start the process of, and why you should set one up in the first place.
Well, here's the deal, KT. As an LLC, there's some protections as an LLC and there's some real tax savings as an LLC. So the protections, Casey, you've been on an airplane before, and you know, as you're getting ready to take off, they say, in the unlikely event of a water landing, you know what you should do. You getting sued in an LLC protecting you is about like the unlikely event of a water landing. Most likely that's not going to happen, but it's there in case it does. The real thing is there's some real tax savings in becoming an LLC. For example, you know, Casey, I haven't owned a car in years. I don't own a vehicle. My LLC does. And so, you know, when I had payments on cars, the LLC paid it. When I stop for gas, the LLC pays it. If I have repairs, it's the LLC. When I get a car wash, it's in the LLC name because I have to keep that car to a certain standard. So there's some tax savings in there by having, you know, vehicles on through there. And it's funny, Casey, you know, when I got my first company-owned car, my insurance on that car was $1,400 a year cheaper as a company car than it was as an individual, which I didn't understand. And then I found out. And what it was is you and your brother were both of driving age and you couldn't drive my company car. And so therefore it took my insurance out because it took the risk away of having it. So that's one example of some tax savings. Another example is, you know, meals and entertainment. As a business, I have meals and entertainment expenses that I can write off very easily. Now, if you're an individual, can you still write off meals and entertainment expenses? Sure, you can. But as an individual, you could be raising a red flag to get audited by doing it that way. Whereas as a business, I'm not really raising a red flag to get audited because businesses are typically have those kind of costs. You know, but the big one, KT, is, you know, as an LLC, I pay myself a small salary and you know, take out payroll tax, and then I get to take the rest of my income as distributions. And as distributions, it's just taxed at a lower rate. And you save, I think it's 7.65% right off the bat, not having to pay the other side of payroll taxes on it. So, like I say, that's the biggest thing is why you want to become an LLC is just to take advantage of all the tax savings that you can get. And then to do it, you can do LegalZoom if you're real comfortable with stuff like that. Man, for me, especially if you're in real estate, you probably have a closing attorney that will help you with it for almost nothing. But whatever business you're in, man, find an attorney. They can put those things together. They have little operating agreements that are easy to throw together. And that's what I would do. I would just get an attorney, and that's what I've done. And, you know, Kiki, I've said this before. In 2009, when I really started getting into starting other businesses, I had one LLC, and that was the Temple team that we sell real estate under. And a couple of years ago, I was part of 17 LLCs. And I think I'm down now. I think I'm only part of 14 or 15 LLCs. But that's the thing. I just by learning how to start one business, you know, I've now started multiple businesses. In fact, we just started another one, you know, very recently with your brother. You and I this past year, that's right, last year, you and I became part of an LLC together that we got into. So if you learn how to do one, man, all of a sudden it can be like that first domino and it just can expand from there.
So I want to skip ahead. I know we had a list together, but just because this fits so perfectly for what we just talked about and where we're going to go with this conversation, I want to skip to the people you surround yourself with. Because if you are a real estate agent, then going to places like LegalZoom, I think you do yourself a disservice. Because the next point is just the people you surround yourself and specifically the people you do business with locally is so important for our business. And This doesn't matter if you're cutting hair or you're selling real estate, you should know your attorney. That way, hopefully, they do business with you in the future. So talk to us a little bit about that and you know, what you should be looking for and how to go about gaining those relationships.
Well, and I'll just start. These are in no particular order. You need an attorney relationship for things like this. And I'm fortunate. I've got an attorney now. You know, if I'm ever, if I was up on a murder charge, my current attorney would not do. But that's never the case. The things that I need, for example, you know, every 12, 18 months, there's something in there. I really need to update my will. Well, my attorney does that for me. It's the same one that does my closings for me, you know, on some basic things. So, but get in those attorney relationships. Have that person that's your go-to that you can call for that. Another one, man, this is a big one that people don't think about, and that's who's your banker? And for me, and I know I've struggled, with your grandfather and your great-great Aunt Shirley, who I'm kind of responsible for. You know, I won't mention by name, but they both bank at big mega banks, and it's a pain in the butt. One of them, you can't even go in and talk to anybody. You have to schedule an appointment to even be able to go into the bank to talk to somebody. And then they don't know who you are. It's a different person every time. I bank local, and I've got three that I absolutely love. They're all local. I have somebody there that knows me by name. I know this, that I'm talking about, you know, your brother and I just started a business together. We had a great opportunity, but we had to act fast, and I needed a loan. And I just went in and I sat down with them, and they knew me, and I kept saying, are you sure? And they were going, Kent, yeah, I know enough about it. You're going to give me some stuff to prove it, but I know your numbers. You're fine. Well, what if I didn't know, Kent? You don't need to do that. You've got, and it's just because I have that relationship. They have my accounts there. They, you know, they know my financial standing. And so definitely get in those banking relationships, because you never know when you're going to need to act fast on something and take care of it. You know, now once you get an LLC, you're a big person now. You don't get to go to TurboTax or one of those deals that you're, I know you're seeing, everybody's advertising right now. You know, we're almost to tax day. You need to get a CPA. You need somebody that will do your taxes for you and look for the loopholes. And then in addition to that, to me, you need a financial planner. You need somebody that can really help you lay out the future, you know, as you do grow. So that's just some examples of some of the people that you're going to need in your life to make sure that you're doing things the right way.
So next, you've got bank accounts. And so you already mentioned going to a local bank.
Yes.
I mean, besides setting up a company credit card, what else should somebody do?
Well, so, man, Casey, the first thing is you cannot believe the number of people, and you were guilty of this too when you first started, that commingle their funds. They don't even set up a separate business banking account, and they get paid and they put it in that account. And they pay their business bills and their personal bills. And at the end of the year, it's a nightmare, you know, trying to figure everything out. And businesses don't operate like that. If you have a McDonald's, then all the money that comes in, when people buy a hamburger, all the money goes into the business banking account. And then if you own the McDonald's, out of that business banking account, you pay all your business bills, and then you pay yourself, however you're going to pay yourself. Like I said, for me, I pay myself a salary. If there's any left over, I take distributions on that. Same with you on the McDonald's. You do it the same way. You pay all your bills, and you take a salary, and then the rest would be your profit that you would get to keep over and above that. And then once you get your salary, you take that salary and you put in your personal account and go pay your personal bills. That's how businesses run. You don't commingle funds. You don't have this one big account that you put stuff, you know, in and out of. I would go to a local bank. I'd meet my person, you know, and I have their direct phone number, and you just set up a separate business banking account. And then, you know, KT, I have, I don't know. I guess there's about seven of the LLCs that I have. I'm the managing partner for, and it is seven very distinct business banking accounts. Now they're all separate. All the businesses are kept separate. All the money's separate. There's just no commingling. And those seven, I have split over three different banks because I never know when I'm going to need another relationship. You know, sometimes you need more. So I've got, you know, three different ones that I can go to, you know, if I have a need. That I'm just saying, a big person that doesn't operate out of one account. And then it's okay. On top of that, KT, you know, for those of us that are self-employed, and basically when you set up your LLC, yeah, you got payroll. You're self-employed. I mean, I would encourage you to have, you know, I have a separate tax account, and I put money in my tax account every month so that I have money to pay my taxes at the end of the year. So that's just a separate account, because bank accounts, bud, they're free. They don't cost anything to have another one anymore. It's not like the old days. So that's why you want to set up a separate business banking account.
And so one of the other items we had was a business credit card. What do you want to go into more deeply about a business credit card?
Well, a couple things. If you have a business credit card, now the rule is, I'm going to say this at the beginning, I'll probably say it at the end too. you can only put on that business credit card what you can pay off in full at the end of the month. There is no carrying a balance on a business credit card because that's the most expensive interest you can have. So you got to pay it off. But for me, you know, I have a separate business credit card. And KT, I put everything I possibly can on it. I pay it off every month. But if it's possible to put it on that card, I do. And there's two reasons why I do that. Number one, man, it makes it easy to track. Everything's in one place. That's just huge. The second thing is I have a points card. And so those points, last year I got invited, you know, to speak in France. And so I got to go to France, and the personal part of that trip that I didn't write off, I paid with all the points that I had. And so that's the two reasons to have that separate. It's just, it's tracking and it's building up something that you can use in the future. Because the bigger business you run, I mean, KT, you know me, I fly. I was looking the other day when I was coming back from Alaska, and I've got like four flights I've already booked, you know, coming up over the next couple months. So I get a lot of points, flights, hotels, meals, and then even a lot of my business expenses now. The different advertising that we do through the Temple team, all of those I've got on the credit card instead of withdraw from straight from the bank account. And it's all about the points for me. That's why I'm doing it.
So what do you use to manage all of this?
Yeah, that's the key one is, man, if you're going to be a business, you need to get on a money management system of some sort. I'm old school. I think anybody's been in business as long as I have. We all use the same thing. We all use some sort of QuickBooks. You know, that's been the one. I love my QuickBooks. I have the desktop version. Everybody says, well, you have the online, you do it for me. I don't care. I understand my version. But the cool thing is, KT, because, you know, every month I sit down with my QuickBooks, everything's in there. I reconcile my bank accounts. I stick my receipts in the file just in case it ever came up. And, you know, KT, at the end of the year, here's what the end of the year looks like for me. Somewhere about January 5th, I get all my bank statements from the end of December, and I reconcile all my bank accounts, you know, all my business bank accounts, and I send my accountant's review to my CPA. And, man, I'm done with my taxes. The only thing I have left to do is over the next several months, you know, every time I get a K-1 or a W-2 or a 1099 or a WD-40 or whatever all that stuff is that I get, I just forward those to the accountant. He's already got my QuickBooks. I mean, my taxes, people think my taxes are hard. They're not. There's a lot of paper to them. You know, you got to kill some trees to do my taxes because I do have so many different, you know, things out there. But at the end of the day, it's really easy because the whole year, I'm just every month, man, I'm reconciling that and then I'm done. End of the year, I'm done. And I'm not sitting at my, I'm not like you, KT, because it's probably in about 2 days it's going to come up and you're going to sit down at your dining room table and you're going to start pulling out receipts and writing stuff on a legal pad and trying to add numbers and trying to figure out what that faded receipt looked like. And
you're bold of you to think I've ever kept a receipt.
You're just looking at statements of some sort.
Exactly. Yeah, dude.
Well, so, I do know this. I do know that if people that don't are not on a money management system, I guarantee you there are write-offs that they miss at some point during the year because they weren't watching it. I guarantee
you. And I know I'm not keeping a receipt. And you've got to be honest with yourself. I have my company credit card. And just like you, I put everything on that and everything I do, everything's digital now. It keeps track of all of that. And if a discrepancy ever did come up, I've got everything logged on my calendar. So I know exactly where I was at that point and what was happening there. So, yeah. You know, just doing little things like having the company credit, that saved me. Because I remember you being like, you got to keep your receipts. I was like, I know that's not going to happen.
The thing I like about the receipts, KT, is if you're looking at houses and I take you for lunch or looking at houses, on that receipt, I can write your name on there and have it. But again, like you're saying, if it ever came down to it, the only difference is for me, I'd pull receipts out. For you, you'd have to pull your statements out and cross-reference with your calendar if you got all of it. KT, that's another reason though to use a CPA is you are much less likely to get audited because they're going to do things right.
And the one thing I do do during those? Because, you know, I'm not taking out clients like I used to be. Mostly everything is pretty self-contained at my computer here. But when I was taking out clients and doing those kind of things, I would, you can use QuickBooks, take a picture of your receipt, and then throw that thing away because you're not, I know, and that goes to any of my friends, anybody who listens to this, I know you're also never going to keep a receipt either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that was the five. We've got get an LLC set up.
Yep.
Get your bank account set up.
Separate business bank account. Yep.
Yep. Get your business credit card.
Separate business credit card. Whichever points card you like that's going to maximize it for you. Yes, sir.
Figure out your money management system.
Yes, sir.
And then surround yourself with the right people to help you manage all those things.
Yep.
The coolest thing is to understand that each one of us is individually stupid, but we've surrounded ourselves with so many smarter people that we don't need to be as smart as you thought. It's such an eye opener just to be able to be like, oh, I've got a tax guy. I don't have to learn everything there is. Now, I do want to add one more thing to that, and that's just about the stuff you're consuming. Specifically, if you want to be the master at this, start reading some money books. There's one really, really popular right now in my circles, which is just The Psychology of Money. And it's incredibly eye-opening to start just learning about money, and it will change how you start treating and operating your own business by getting into those kind of books. Are there any books that you would suggest to get into that?
I'm going
to
say, if you've never read one before, and this is one I gave you early on, is Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah. I mean, it really figured.
And I figured, Casey, when I first got that book, I thought I knew what it was going to be about. It was going to be the poor dad was the one like me who got married and had kids. But that's not the way the book goes. That's just what I thought it was going to go like.
Don't worry. I learned from that mistake. Cool aunt and uncle.
No, you only learn half. You're married. You didn't learn. Yeah. The kids part, you maybe learned from that one. But the married part, yeah, you didn't so much. But yeah, Rich Dad Poor Dad. That is a great one. And especially for man, kids, senior high school, just getting out of high school, getting to college, you know, for those young adults, that's a great one that'll really explain a lot to you.
Awesome. Well, guys, we're going to start doing more and more of these just quick videos to make it easy. If you know somebody that's starting a business, share this video with us or share the recording with them so that they can go and get started on this journey. I was lucky to have somebody like my dad around to help me with these things. But I'm starting to talk to my friends. I'm at the very advanced age of 30, and my friends are starting their businesses and they're like, and starting families. And I just had one buddy ask me what he just got married, and he was like, "Do I need a financial planner?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, let's get started with that. Get started with it early. It does help out a lot." So let us know.
I'm glad you said that. You said thank you that you had me, because I didn't have me and I didn't have that person in my life to do this. I didn't learn any of this stuff. I was already in real estate. And then finally, and you know, one of my favorite sayings is this one is hang out with people that remind you of your future, not of your past. And I just got fortunate. I started hanging out with people that were a lot smarter than me when it came to things about how to run a business and how to make money. But man, you know, you're not even 30 yet. See, I was almost 40 years old before. And I go back, I can look in 2013, I've got the sheet where, I mean, I pretty much didn't have a net worth. You know, it was barely above zero. And that was just 11 years ago. And it's just because I didn't have anybody to teach me these principles that we're talking about, these little things. I just kind of was learning as I went, and I'm a very slow learner if I don't have somebody teaching me.
Awesome. Well, guys, we'll be back again next Wednesday. Find us on Instagram, Facebook. You can find me, KT Temple, and you can find Ken at the Temple team. Let us know what you guys are looking to hear more of. And if you're looking for any real estate advice or need an agent, you can find us at thetempleteam.com. And if you're needing a virtual assistant to start helping you take this business to the next level, you can find us at Cyberbacker Carolinas. We'll be happy to help you connect with somebody that can help leverage your business. So we'll see you guys next week.
See you, man.